Mr. Pop.
Who the hell is Sky Weekly? It sounds like a magazine.
She's an influencer.
Oh.
This is Ruck and Roll, your weekly shot of sport and music with Kevin Hillier, Brian Mannix and Mark Fine.
Travel all over the countryside. Ask the Leyland Brothers. Well, you can't get them, but you can have us instead. We are Ruck and Roll. I'm Kevin Hillier. With me is Brian Mannix and Mark Fine. And we're in all parts, all different parts of Australia. If you could see us, you'd be vomiting. No, Mark Fine's in a pool. Or a spa, I should say, or a spa pool, or both. Is it do both?
I'm in a spa. I am like the proverbial chicken in the soup, stewing away here. But, yeah, it's beautiful. I'm in Blairgowrie on the peninsula.
Nice.
And having the time of my life. And I thought, look, I'm going to stay in the spa because I want the boys to get the full idea of my tattoos. So now they've got an eye.
Well, it is. It's the best vision I've seen of your tattoos, and it's quite impressive, actually, Finny. I like the growth too. You look perfect for Darwin.
Yeah, I'm heading off to Darwin on Wednesday. Well, actually, 2 hours out of Darwin, and luckily, 2 hours west of Darwin, because 2 hours east of Darwin got hit by a cyclone.
Oh, not good. So yeah, we'll do which you won't be with us next week. Kenny Francis will be doing the show Easter Monday. So now, what are you going Darwin for? You're going fishing.
Yeah, it's a fishing resort called Barra Blue. Every day's fishing, and it's divided up between rivers and barramundi and the deep blue for Spanish mackerel and coral trout and queenfish. And we set mud crab traps, and basically it's a bucket list dream of a lifetime for me and my mate Paul. So, yeah, we're counting the minutes.
Good on you. We'll enjoy it. And we'll get to more of that. And here he is, live from the backyard of his brother's house. It's Brian Mannix, travelling all over the countryside.
Yes, down in Melbourne for my uncle's funeral. And I tell you what, the priest at the funeral, I don't know, he came out of retirement, he's Italian or something. It was halfway through the ceremony before I realised he wasn't doing it in Latin. I couldn't understand a word he said. He came back to the wake afterwards. I wanted to get him in a headlock and rough him up a bit because it was just hour and a half of undecipherable language. Anyway.
Was it the full Monty in terms of all the religious?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it was all of that. And, you know, and I tell you what, the Catholic Mass, I want to rewrite it. Really, there's a whole lot of stuff there that just, it's irrelevant. It's just, you know, it is right to give him thanks and praise. Well, just give him thanks and praise. You don't have to say it's the right thing to do. Just lots of rubbish like that. I think the whole thing could be streamlined very, very smoothly and get some decent songs, for God's sake. Some of them are so depressing. They're a dirge. But anyway, as far as funerals go, it was a good send-off, apart from the Italian bloke that I couldn't understand.
All right, anyway. So apart from the fact that you couldn't understand the bloke who was doing the service, apart from the fact that the music was terrible, apart from the fact that it was, long and verbose and irrelevant at times, well, it was just a swell occasion.
Well, it was. The prayers of the faithful were particularly good because me and my sister-in-law did them, and the eulogy was good because my brother did that. So that was good. But anyway, you know. I'm just sick of going to funerals. But
I'm going to ask you a semi-serious question, and this is not on the agenda at all, but I want to ask you, what sort of a funeral do you want, Brian? You?
Well, me? I don't know. I think.
Well definitely not a cremation. It'll take 4 days to put out the fire.
No, we're going to do a cremation and everybody can snort me. We'll cremate. I don't think. It'll be every song I've ever recorded will be played nonstop at the wake. It'll be my day. There's no doubt about that. It'll be all about me.
Right. Right. So you
do. And we might have some dances and flashbots and some strobes as well.
Okay. Have you thought about your.
And that, hang on. How about the giant inflatable penis? Will that be floating?
Well, absolutely. You know, I want the priest to come hopping in on that like it's a space opera.
You might have to carefully hand choose your priest. I don't think you'll be able to get one to come out of retirement or you can't understand to be able to do yours. Well, have you thought about that, Finey? What do you want to do?
Yeah, in death as I lived, I definitely want to be cremated.
Yeah, me too.
I've actually put that in my will. I cannot stand the thought of decomposing in the ground.
Yeah,
but I want to, in death as I lived, I want to be cremated, and somewhere between the crematorium and the service and awake afterwards, I want somebody to lose my ashes. As I have lost phones and keys and wallets and cars and whatever. So, yeah, I just want somebody to misplace me.
Yep.
Would be ideal. But yeah. I do have, interesting that you're talking about Catholicism and death.
Yeah.
Because, of course, there's the story of the tragedy of the, you know, when Collingwood were playing in Adelaide some years ago and they had a bus go over from Melbourne and the bus went over a cliff and everybody on the bus died.
Mm-hmm.
And 44 Collingwood souls, you know, went up to heaven and they were met at the pearly gates by St. Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Peter was a bit taken back because there's 44 Collingwood supporters at the gate. So he ran inside to God and he goes, God, there's 44 Collingwood supporters here. What do I do with them? And God goes, get rid of them. Whatever you do, get rid of them. So St. Peter goes out and he starts doing God's will. And an hour later, he runs back in and he goes, and God goes, well, what happened? And he goes, they're gone. And God goes, the Collingwood supporters? He goes, no, the pearly gate.
Very nice.
I like that.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. All right, let's get stuck in. Well, let's speak about the Collingwood and the Collie Wobbles because we'll talk some footy first up. We'll get to the footy tips in a moment. How the mighty have fallen, may I say.
We don't want to talk about football.
Collie Wobbles, what do you reckon, Finey? Are they in trouble, Collingwood? They play Brisbane this week at the Gabatoir on Thursday night.
No, they're in more trouble than the Jimmy Savile Appreciation Society.
There's a new one that's just bobbed up on one of the streaming services out at the moment, and it looks fantastic. A good show, but yeah, obviously very ordinary subject matter. Yes, right. So they are in trouble.
There's a great meme out there. It's a photo of a guy with three teeth in his mouth, and it says Collingwood 0-, and that guy's smiling.
0 from three.
Yeah.
Zero, three.
Yeah.
Anyhow, look, I said it last week on the show. I said if they weren't the reigning premiers, you just say they're a middle-of-the-road mediocre team. And I say that because they do have an ageing midfield, even though I think the criticism on Sidebottom and Pendlebury is sort of stating the bleeding obvious by people who probably don't know other players in the team.
It's hardly
all on them. In fact, you know, as somebody of Pendlebury's age, he wasn't the worst player on Collingwood's team, far from it. Where's the highly touted Isaac Quaynor this season?
He had a shocker the other night. He had a shocker.
You know, Tom Mitchell's, he's he won a Brownlow medal. He was terrible.
Yep. They miss Taylor Adams. Taylor Adams is a very good player for them.
Yeah, but he'd moved on. He was in the forward line. So they thought he was surplus to need. So I'm not putting Taylor Adams as the cure-all. They don't have a lot of depth. I mean, Darcy Moore, he was doing some good things, but he was also, he's very flighty at the moment. I think he's trying to bite off more than he can chew because he wants to get things going. So he's turning over the ball. But, you know, they've got other guys that should be pulling their weight that are not pulling their weight in any sense. So hard game against Brisbane, who's also backs up against the wall. You wouldn't think the reigning grand, you know, the current two grand finalists from last year would have played five games and won naught.
Mm.
But don't we also give credit to their opponents? Swans form held up. We'll see Saints versus Bombers this week, but I think the Saints are, you know, not a bad team. So we'll just wait and see.
Yep. Brian.
And we know GWS are good.
Yes, they are. Brian, your mob. Big.
Robbie.
big.
They're rubby.
Well, no, but they're big and they're strong and they're tough and they're fearsome and they go after people and they they're just tough and, or is it all, as Papley so lovingly put it, a facade?
Well, I think they're trying to get a tougher edge to them, and that's good. I liked it when they, you know, all started piling onto Hawthorn and getting a bit aggro. I like that, but because it means that their heart's in the game. But oh, we're rubbish. We're just so mediocre again. And I tuned in about 10 minutes into the third quarter, and they all got their hands on their hips and bending over. And I'm thinking, you're exhausted already. You know, you're not fit enough. They're really frustrating me. You know, once again, it looks like we're just going to be that, you know, 8-12 kind of team. And I'm kind of disillusioned with the whole season already because of their form.
Fair enough.
Mm.
All right, let's go to the tips from last week. Not a lot to say on this front from you, Brian, this week.
Nope. Very bad.
You finished up with a score of 12. Not good.
Not good.
Finey and I both got 23. So you went for the punts on – you went for a punt on Hawthorn. You went for a punt on
North
Melbourne. So you took that. And Finey and I picked up 2 and 3 respectively. You went for your Bombers, who would have got you 8 if they got up, but didn't. We went for Sydney, so we picked up the 2 there. You went for the Suns against the Doggies. And Finey and I pick up 4 each there. We all went for Port Adelaide. We all went for the Giants, obviously, to beat the Eagles. Jeez, they're be very, very hard doors being a Eagles supporter at the moment. North had a crack, but not up to it. Adelaide and Geelong. Geelong were too good. Finey went for Adelaide. And St Kilda and Collingwood. Well, good on you, Finey. Your boys got up.
Thank you.
So the wash-up is Brian gets 12, I get 23, Finey gets 23. So after round three, after round two, so confusing. Brian, you still have a very slippery, slimy hand on the top of the ladder.
Mm.
47. I'm on 45, and Finey's on 36. So that 20-point gap that you had at the start of the year has evaporated quickly.
Yeah. Yummy. You're like one of those harness horses in a handicap that starts off the front. And you know what term race callers use when they're calling this race?
What?
Brian Mannix in front, but I think he's under suffering. You're leading under suffering.
We'll just have to do better this week.
Well, we'll get to them in a minute, but I want to have a look at our chart for this week. Is from the 11th of March, 1972, a Go Set National Top 40. And here's the top 10. At number 10, I'd Like to Teach the World to Sing by the New Seekers. 9, Cause I Love You by Slade. 8 is Captain Zero by The Mixtures. 7 is Day by Day by Colin Hewitt. 6 is My World by the Bee Gees. 5, Ernie, Benny Hill. 4, Cherish, David Cassidy. 3, Brand New Key by Melanie. 2, Rangers Waltz by the Mums and Dads. And number 1, American Pie by Don McLean. 1972, the 11th of March. Interesting chart. Got some really, really weird. The Mums and Dads and Captain Zero and a bit of Benny Hill in there. You wouldn't get Benny Hill in the top 5 these days.
You got Led Zeppelin and Benny Hill in the same chart.
Black Dog, later on in the chart, is one of the great songs.
It's a great chart. Peace Train is it?
Yeah, it's beauty.
Yeah, it has got some good ones.
Imagine.
Yeah.
Maggie May, one of my favourite Rod Stewart songs.
Mm.
I love Maggie May and I love The Flip Side.
Oh, Reason to Believe, yeah, good song.
Oh, no, Maggie May not.
Oh, thank you. Let's have a look at what else is around before we get to the actual tips. Other sporting, the Marsh Sheffield Shield has been run and won, and Western Australia have won it for the 450,000th time. They flogged Tasmania in the Shield final. The NRL, no big exciting news out of the NRL this week. The Storm couldn't pull off another come-from-behind win. They finished up going down by 2 points this week. The Grand Prix's been run and won, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ferrari, I believe.
And an Aussie finished fourth.
Oh, that's good.
Oscar Pistari. Pardon? Oscar Pistaria finished in fourth spot. He finished fourth.
Pardon?
An Aussie finished fourth in the Grand Prix.
Oh, sorry. I live in Elwood. I still can't hear you from the weekend. Stupid bombardment of noise, fast traffic, BFD.
Well, they're going pretty fast around the track. They were going pretty fast down where Queens Way down that direction, Queens Road. They were hooking along there.
They go along the golf course.
Yep.
Right. At how many k's an hour?
200 and something, isn't it?
280.
Yeah, something like that.
And Oscar's pissed Aria. So wow.
Mm.
And now it's. Back to a mind-numbingly ridiculous 40 k's.
Yes, I don't know how to go down with the locals if you put 280 k's as the speed limit along there, Finey. I'm not sure the locals would be.
I don't want 280, but 40 along there, you feel like you're in reverse. It's so stupid. There's no, there's no houses. There's no shops. There's no schools. There's no footpath. There's no pedestrian.
That's a fair point.
It's in case the duck waddles along there.
The Commonwealth Games, Malaysia said no after Melbourne said we can't afford to run it. Malaysia's now said no, we can't afford to run it. We haven't got time to run it, and we haven't. The money that you've offered us isn't enough. I think the Commonwealth Games, the 2026 version, not going to happen. Thought you were giving up the smokes, Mannix.
Oh, I had a bad day, but yeah. I've had one cigarette today. That's it.
There you go.
So
yeah, it was 13 meters long.
Well, it was quite long. No. I haven't put a new patch on, so which I'll do. Don't worry about it. We're gonna win this.
All right. So the Commonwealth Games not in Melbourne, and now the Brisbane Olympic Games for 2032, which seems like a long way away, but it's probably not. I had to laugh. The one of the organisers in Brisbane, or one of the critics of the games in Brisbane, said Sydney had Fatso, the fat-assed wombat, and Brisbane's going to have the half-assed games. So you can look forward to that, apparently. The venues are all up in the air. No one knows what's going on with them.
Well, I've never heard anything like it. Why they would award it to Brisbane, what Brisbane ever put on the 1980 Expo and
82 Commonwealth Games with the blinking Matilda, whatever it was called.
Yeah, but it's not a major city, and it's very all right. It might be a romantic idea up in the. I don't know why how it won the Olympic Games in Brisbane, if it sounds wrong. And now they've reneged on building new stadiums, and they're just going to put money into a couple of existing stadiums. One of them's rectangular. They've actually made a complete mockery of the Commonwealth Games. This current government there should be absolutely ashamed of themselves. Yeah, we want the Commonwealth Games, and we're going to put
the Olympic
relatively
Games. The Olympics,
Olympic
not the
Games, Olympic Games. We want the Olympic Games. The entire world focuses on it, and we're not willing to build any new stadium. We're going to do it for money we find down the back of the couch. They should be bloody ashamed of themselves.
Yeah, it is. It does. The half-assed is probably a very good description. Which, speaking of stadiums, and I haven't, I haven't looked at the result of the Tasmanian election from the weekend, but
clearly, the Liberals got up.
Well, but surely no matter who gets in there, the people of Tasmania want a football team in the AFL. They want a stadium built. Surely you just make that happen no matter whatever bloody party gets. Who cares what party gets in?
Yeah, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
What are they going to be called? They're going to be the Tasmanian Apples or the
Devils? You've missed it. They've already been named. They've got the Devils. Green light from Warner Brothers to use the Tassie Devil Warner Brother logo.
Oh, that's good.
And they're up and running as the Tassie Devils.
I wonder how green jumper is going to work on a green field.
Well, it's green and yellow with a little bit of red. The jumper that they unveiled at the launch, I think, is going to be one of several jumpers they'll obviously wear. They'll have one that'll have the Tassie Devil on it somewhere, because that was don't go the obvious. They had a map of Tassie on the one that they launched the other day, and
they got They shaved that off.
Yeah. and I told Brian not to.
Yeah, but you didn't tell me not to.
I should have. Anyway, I reckon it'll look good. It'll look really good. I think I would be very excited if I was a Tasmanian.
And they've already announced that all their home games are going to be double headers.
Yes, good. Thank you.
So does Canberra get a team now? Do you get a 20th team?
No. Canberra's not a proper city.
Well, the Raiders do all right.
Well, the busiest place at 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon in Canberra? The airport, as every man and his dog tries to get out of the joint.
Well, I think I'd rather go to Canberra for the weekend to watch footy than go to Western Sydney.
I'd love it. I know it's not going to happen, but I'd love a team in Northern Territory, which would be made up mainly of Indigenous players. Mm-hmm. It'd be very exciting.
But you'd want to call them the Darwin Bombers.
I had a great name for them.
What's that?
Well, even though they wouldn't play out of Fitzroy Crossing, they could have the name Fitzroy.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's going to make a lot of people happy.
Yeah. That'll never happen though because of the logistics of playing up there, won't it? I mean, because it's also
in the wet season.
Yeah, there's too many issues with the grounds. I would have thought would be a problem because of the wet season, because of the heat, the combination of those two things.
They do have a couple of lovely grounds up there at Alice Springs and Darwin. They've got beautiful grounds.
Well, I know some of the blokes I've suburban footy players and VFL footy players who've gone up there and played in the competition in the off season. They absolutely adore playing football up there.
Oh yeah.
And I don't think you'd be playing in the wet season. The footy would be over before the wet season starts about October. And
oh, is that the wet season? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so it's
sorry, it just always rains. Whenever I watch a game up there, it's raining.
Yeah, correct. Oh
well, I don't know, maybe, but I went to a game up there, saw some grand final up there, and it was, you know, it was a good hot day in Melbourne, you know, it was like 27, 28. It was okay, but they just certainly give the home team a big advantage, you know, especially if Tassie's got to come up there and play in that heat, they wouldn't know what to do.
Yep.
Yeah, and if they play at night, there's more Jew than Caulfield Synagogue.
All right. Fair enough. Let's get to round three.
Just so you know, I can say that.
I know.
Because yeah, you're Jewish.
You have carte blanche to say whatever you want in that area. Off you go.
Yeah. There you go.
I have a Berlewitz in my background, so I can probably have a crack at it as well, you know.
Yeah. Oh. Absolutely. Funny, you don't look it.
I don't look Berlewitz. No, there's Berlewitz in my background, trust me.
Oh, well, good. I'll just stick to bagging the Christians.
which you did very effectively at the top of the
program. Well, you know, there's plenty of material there, and I'm a Christian, so it's okay.
Well, next week introducing the series Mannix, The Altar Boy Years.
Oh, look who wants to do the Deathalyzer.
No, we don't want to do the Deathalyzer at all. Now, round three, if you're Lenny's Fine Foods footy tipping competition, as we mentioned, very exciting, 47 plays, 45 plays, 36, so it's tightened up.
Mm.
Here we go.
Cool.
GWS and the Suns will have a bye this week. Why this is going on is beyond me, but anyway. I thought all this, you know, that we had to have a certain amount of games for television coverage every week, but it seems that we can get away with one game less.
Well, we've got to balance up round zero, but it's good. The Johnny Come Latelys are out. It's got a more familiar feel.
Yep. And this will be spread over 4 or 5 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week because of the Easter holiday. So let's start on Thursday night where Brisbane will get you 3, Collingwood will get you 7 to win. At the Gabba, I'm sticking with the Pies. I'm going to go and hopefully taste that 7. Brian?
I think Brisbane are a bit ahead of themselves. But Brisbane, I think they'll bounce back. No, I'm going to take the 3 to Brisbane.
Finey?
I respect whatever Brian said. Brisbane.
Okay. Just make a note of that as we get to the second game, which is North Melbourne.
Hang on. I've got to take the tongue out of my
chest. Yeah, thank you. North Melbourne are playing Carlton Friday, Marvel Stadium. This is the Good Friday appeal game. It's not very appealing if you're a North Melbourne supporter because they will get belted. Carlton will win this. It'll get you 2 points for Carlton. Boys, are we Carlton all round?
Yes, yep. Please.
8 for North Melbourne, but I don't think anyone wants any of that. Now, this one on Friday night from Perth, Frio and the Adelaide Crows. Very interesting. Frio will get you 3. They're at home, obviously. Adelaide Crows will get you 7. 7 for the Crows. If you think they've got anything in them, I am going to go with the home team. I think Frio will win. Not with any great. The 7's bloody tempting.
That's what it's all about. It's all about.
I will stick with Frio and take the 3. Brian?
Yeah, I agree. I went a bit too crazy last week, and at home I think Frio are a very good team. So yeah, I'll have Frio.
Finally, is the 7 that is tempting? Is it tempting you or not?
No, Frio.
Frio all round. And now here we go. You two up against each other. Saturday afternoon at 4:20 at Marvel Stadium. Essendon, the big tough boys of the competition, will take on those meek, mild little St Kilda. Lovely little players they are. Essendon will get you 6, Brian. St Kilda will get 6. You 4, Finey.
I believe 2 of St Kilda's best runners are not playing, so Bombers.
True. I'm sticking with the Saints.
Sticking with the Saints. I have the casting vote here. Oh, goodness me, it's like choosing between two things that I'm not very fond of. Gee whiz, I'm going to go the Saints.
What do you want? What do you want? A poke in the eye or a cricket ball in the jacket?
Yeah, exactly. I'll go with the poke in the eye. St Kilda get my vote. I'll take the 4. 7:30 Saturday night at Adelaide Oval. Port Adelaide will take on Melbourne. Whoa. Port Adelaide at home will get you 3. Melbourne travelling, and not travelling badly at the moment either, will get you a 7. Are they good enough? I think they just might be. I'm going to go with Melbourne to beat Port Adelaide and take the 7. Brian?
No, I'll have Port Adelaide at home. Thank you.
Oh, aren't you playing Mr. Safety, Mr. Hector the Safety Cat. Listen to him. Hector the Scaredy Cat. That's what he is. Finally, Port Adelaide for 3, Melbourne for 7.
I'll have some of that imported cheese. I'll go for Melbourne.
Melbourne. There you go, Brian. There's a little a little opening for you there. Tiny wee opening for you.
Yeah.
Sunday, 1 o'clock at Marvel Stadium. The Bulldogs will take on the West Coast Eagles. Finey is generously given 1 for the Bulldogs and 9 for the Eagles.
Did lose to the Eagles last year.
They did. That's exactly right. And it was brought up by the coach. In his little thing that he sends out to the members after the game, he said, "Don't forget that the West Coast Eagles bit us on the arse last year." And he was, well, they bit him on the arse. But I think it will be Bulldogs all round, will it not, boys?
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
Richmond take on Sydney at the MCG Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Richmond will get you 7. Sydney will get you 3. And they're as hot as anyone going around the competition. The two Sydney sides are the two form teams of the competition, I think, without any doubt. I think they'll be too good for Richmond, so I'll take the 3 and go for Sydney. Brian?
Yeah, I agree. But Richmond, gee, they've been stiff, you know. They've come close. They've been a bit out of luck. But, yeah, especially the game against Carlton.
Points. 7 points, Brian.
Yeah, but people that don't barrack for either team are telling me that Carlton got a 50-metre penalty and they got a whole lot of free kicks in the last 10 minutes and kind of won it for them.
Yeah,
so I'm told.
And Richmond were three players down in that game. I must
admit. All right, so put Brian down for 3 for Sydney because he's gutless.
Yes, okay, do that.
Okay. Oh, I tried every tactic.
Yeah, you did.
Psychology, reverse psychology, double reverse psychology.
I can hear you both. You know, Kev. Oh, and it's a big 9 points for West Coast. Come on, fellas.
Well, the Finey's just getting, you know, he's getting used to baiting the hooks for the Barramundi next week. He's just baiting one for you. Finey, you're going for Sydney?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Thought so. The part of probably the most enjoyable part of the entire footy tipping for me is watching Finey bait you every week, Brian. One more to go. It is the Monday game at 3:20 at the MCG on Monday afternoon. Hawthorn take on Geelong. This has become that kind of traditional rivalry between these two. I think Geelong are just going to be too good for Hawthorn. Only get you 2 points for the Cats, 8 for the Hawks, Brian. 8 for the Hawks. What are you going? Geelong?
You'd feel sick if you picked Geelong and the Hawks won, because you've been on the Hawks a couple of times.
Yeah,
it hasn't done me any good.
You'd feel sick if they won, though.
Nah, we're going for the Cats.
No, hey, I reckon Brian's gone for all the favourites this week except for Essendon.
Well, I'm just going to have a look down the thing here. Brisbane and Collingwood. Are you going for Geelong, I'm assuming, Funny?
Yep.
So in the first game, Brisbane and Collingwood, you've both gone for Brisbane. I've gone for Collingwood. Elle, we're all Carlton. We're all Fremantle. Brian's gone for Essendon. Everyone else, St Kilda. Brian's gone for Port Adelaide. Funny and I have gone for Melbourne. Everyone's on the Doggies. Everyone's on Sydney. And everyone's on Geelong.
So if Brian gets all 8 winners, he'll get 10 points.
Won't pick up a lot. But anyway,
I'm not going to lose a lot.
You'll just keep your head above water and keep
just shoring things up.
You're protecting your lead, and as soon as you start doing that, Brian, you know what happens.
The great thing is when Brian gets behind, then we'll start seeing a bit of flair.
Yeah, that's what happens. I go, well, no, I need the points, and then it just goes really bad.
So last week he was punting with other people's money. He was going, okay, I'll take that 7, I'll take that 8, because I've got this in the bag.
He wanted to be 40 points in front.
Yeah. If it came off.
Exactly right.
Yeah, if it came off, it would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the way it works, Brian, baby.
It's a much better tipping comp than the normal one, though, isn't it?
It is.
Absolutely.
I much, much prefer it. And thank you to Ben Taylor, who's helping me keep a tally on the points up on the Facebook page. So good on you, Benny. Good job. And it is, as I said, 47, 45, and 36. So we'll see what happens at the end of round. I keep going to say round 4, but it's not. It's round 3. So round 3 this week. All right, Brian, you know what it's time for?
Do you know what it actually is? I've done the math. It's pie round.
What's that mean?
It's round 3.142.
Oh, yeah, okay. Oh. Yes, that makes sense. Brian?
I'm just waiting for the E equals MC squared finals system.
That'll come in.
Yeah.
No, you know, we're best of 3. We'll go for best of 2.5.
Here we go. Don't move. Don't change a thing. We traced the call. It's coming from inside the house. You've got to get out of there. Because this is the Deathalyzer.
Well, your little eyes go all squinty and when you do that, Brian.
That's why it's just a voiceover, Kev.
Couldn't do it on TV. You'll do yourself an injury.
I just want to say that was a great intro, and I reckon this has been a really slick show. So we should submit this week's edition to the award for the second worst podcast in Australia. I reckon we could get off the bottom.
We'll give it a try. A couple of sad ones again this week in the Death Allies, a couple of local ones. One that I'm sure you'll have something, or both I'm sure you'll have something to say about, Finey. First one, at the age of 93, John Russell, the great, incredibly talented race caller, passed away. One of the best that there was. Took over from Bert Bryant on 3UZ back in the mid-70s, called 20 Melbourne Cups, was a Warrnambool boy, started out calling the local Hampden Footy League, did his first race at Birragara, calling a race, and then that was his calling in life, and he just finished up on Sky. I think he was one of the first callers on Sky when racing went to that after he left 3UZ. And one of the great callers, I know Brian Martin, who's obviously a very good friend of yours and mine, Finey. John Russell was Brian's idol. That was the one he looked up to, the one he sort of got great mentorship out of. So very sad that John Russell passed away at the age of 93. Retired back in 2004 at the age of 73 from Sky, and then unfortunately passed away this week at the age of 93.
brilliant race caller. Vale, one of the greats.
Yeah, absolutely. Now,
didn't hear his work much, but I certainly love his dogs.
The John Ross, the John Jack, Jack Russells.
The Jack Russells, they're right. Beautiful.
Now, the other sad one from the football world and from the sailing world as well. He was very high up in the sailing world. Andrew Plimpton passed away over the weekend at the age of 74 from cancer. Was the St Kilda president from 93 to 2000 and saw some really delightful posts from some of the football media on social media over the weekend yesterday when the news was released from Stephen Quatermain, from Bruce Eaver, from people who obviously worked very much in the football world, in the calling world, and in the media world, and had a fair bit to do with him. And Bruce Eaver was one that did catch my eye. He said, started as not the best of friends, because Bruce is a mad St Kilda supporter like yourself, Finey. And I think he and Andrew Plimpton might have butted heads in the early days, but they finished up becoming quite good mates. And some really touching tributes to Andrew Plimpton, and some nice stuff from the AFL on the media today too. You have dealings with, they call him the Prez.
Yeah, I met Andrew. I don't think it's too dramatic to say St Kilda might not exist if not for Andrew Plimpton.
Oh, the Save Our Saints campaign and all that stuff, and moving the club to Waverley and doing a whole lot of things that he did. Absolutely.
Yeah, he did it all. He dipped into his pocket many times without fanfare or recognition. St Kilda will be wearing the black armbands on Saturday night, and every supporter should know that it was for a great man for the cause.
Yep. That's one thing that I don't think the AFL and clubs and media do terribly well. You see every week you see them running around with a black armband on just about, and you never know who it's for.
Yep.
And I always find that really sad, because sometimes you'll know, you know, personally I'll know who it is for the Bulldogs, but no one else knows that it's for, you know, someone who was a member for 50 years and put in and did all these things for the club. And certainly I hope they do make something out of the fact that the contribution that Andrew Plimpton did make to the St Kilda Football Club.
Yeah, huge.
And he passed away at the age of 74, as I mentioned. And that, Brian, is it for this
week. No, that's not it.
No. Oh, hang on. Who have I missed?
No.
Did someone?
Unless, I don't think we did it last week. But it's a really sad passing. Sack's a great woman that I had the honour to meet many times. Did we talk about Denise Bartlett?
Oh, no, we didn't. And, God, remiss of me not to mention that. Kevin's wife, yes. Jesus, I should have remembered that. I forgot.
So I spent many an afternoon with Denise. Denise would always come to the panels that we did and the functions that Kevin did. Denise, wry sense of humour, an absolute sweetheart. And, oh, God, she was funny. She's very Australian, fiercely loyal to the family. You know, was that? I guess when your husband's such a famous player and media performer, you become a bit of a football widow, but she accepted that. And Kevin absolutely adored her and has spent the last couple of years almost as a recluse looking after his beloved Denise.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they were just sweethearts. He used to tell a great story of how he met Denise, because Denise was going out with Dick Clay.
That's right.
And there was a practice match. Now, you know Kevin, not the sort of bloke to let alone not give a handball, but he played every minute of every game of every, you know, every intra-club, every practice match.
Yeah.
And he had told Tommy Hafey he was a bit, at half-time he said he'd run his race and he was feeling a bit flat. Could he have the rest of the game off? And he sat up in the stand. He said, when I went up there, she was Dick Clay's girlfriend, Billy Barrett's girlfriend, and when I came down, she was going to be my wife. So
that's right. Billy Barrett was. That's right.
Yeah, Billy Barrett, not Dick Clay.
Yep.
So I always told that funny story. I don't know if it was more humour than true, but I gave a bit of paid tribute to her on Finey's Finest Siren on Friday night.
I closed by
saying that he might never have given her a handball, but he gave her all his loves, and anybody that ever met Denise just loved him. Such a fair dinkum fun woman. I was really saddened by her passing, but I knew she was ill, so I'd been saddened for a while by her situation.
Yep. No, it was a wonderful, wonderful partnership they had. And Kevin, when you hear Kevin talk about her, you know, over the years that I worked with him, as you did, Finny, he always was. It was an incredibly respectful and loving relationship that they had. It was beautiful.
A daughter.
Yeah.
So as Kevin used to always say at the end of his show, never ever ever forget Finny.
Mm.
I return serve with never ever ever forget Denise because she was gorgeous.
And remiss of me not to mention it. No, good on you for picking that one up. Well done. All right, Brian, that's it. Close her up.
Ladies and gentlemen, you made it through another week. Let's see if you can do it again, because that concludes tonight's thrilling episode of The Death Eliza.
Beautiful. Al, you'd be watching the Celebrity Jungle this time around, Brian. I know you're such a fan of the reality TV shows, the Love Islands.
And I think I will. I was watching Married at First Sight.
Right.
And you learn about sport so that no matter who you meet that's male, you've got some kind of conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so it's always good to know a little bit about sports. Rich people, poor people, everybody likes sports. So it's a good social device to have. And if you watch a bit of Married at First Sight, you've got the same kind of currency with girls. But I tell you what, I'll be looking forward to the Celebrity to get me out of it, because it's all right when they get married and stuff at the start, but then it just turns into talking about relationships or talking about their relationship, and any conversation that might be about the football or anything that's not to do with it is edited out. I just couldn't stand it by the end. You know, I'd done my research. I could talk to the girls about it, but Celebrity to get me out of here, I don't mind that.
Well, the interesting
math. Moronic, absolutely fucking stupid.
Now, didn't you have a friend that was on it, Finny?
Actually, she's very close friends with the woman whose house I'm at the moment. Yeah, it's all got up.
Yeah, it really seemed contrived at the end.
It's all bullshit. As though anybody didn't know.
Well, yeah, some of the cocktail parties or whatever they do, it was just like, why are you worried about what these two are doing? It's nothing to do with you, but, you know. And
it's pretty much scripted. They go through it all before they turn the cameras on.
I wonder if they've got like an earpiece in their ear, you know, those little bit of chewy that they put in your ear.
Yeah.
And it's got a thing so that they can say, okay, Timothy, you need to get involved in this conversation now. And these people do it. But, yeah, it does seem very contrived. And, no, it was dreadful. But, anyway.
Well, we'll see what happens with that. Is that finished now, Maths?
Yeah. Oh, it must be. I think it might be one more. I don't know. Maybe tonight's the last night. Who cares?
Well, I was reading a post Craig Willis put up the other day about the final of Australian Idol. And we want to wish Marsha Hines all the best because she collapsed backstage. And had to be rushed to hospital last night, which is, I think,
anything.
What?
Anything untoward there, or just she's exhausted?
No idea.
Well,
something to do with her something to do with her diabetes, I believe.
Oh, that'll do it.
And this is like the second or third night of the finals of whatever it is. What are they? What's that one? That's The Voice, isn't it?
No, it's Australian Idol.
Australian Idol. Yeah. So that goes over about four nights, the final of that. Whatever happened to one night being the final of something, but it goes for about three or four nights. She had to pull out, and I think Guy Sebastian jumped in her place, took her place for whatever stage of the final series that one is. So that's sort of playing out at the same time, and then got Frankie Muniz, who was Malcolm in the Middle, he's in the jungle. Peter Dacos. Our old mate Dykes is in the jungle.
Frankie Muniz, who's he?
Malcolm in the Middle. Remember that TV show, Malcolm in the
Middle? Oh, can't stand that guy. Righto. Who else is in there?
Candace Warner. David Warner's missus. Who's
she?
David Warner's
So she's married to somebody famous.
She was a triathlete on her own right.
Oh, okay.
Now she's a try hard.
Yeah. Michelle Bridges is in there.
Oh, yeah, okay. She had a TV show. She's fit. She'll probably go all right.
Khan Ong, who was a MasterChef contestant twice.
I like Khan. I do. Because he's the Vietnamese guy.
Yes, he is, Khan. Yeah,
Khan. Because we go to his family butcher is in Springvale, and I go there a bit. They're very nice.
Stephen K. Amos, the English comedian.
Oh, he was married to.
No, that's Lenny Henry. That's Lenny Henry. Stephen K. Amos would be married to a man, not one of the Dawn French or Jennifer Saunders.
He was married to that guy that made the biscuits, famous.
Who else is in there? Callum Hole?
Or Big Daddy. Stop it.
Fine.
Is Callum Hole a name or a description?
Following on from Stephen K. Amos. No. He's from Love Island. He was on Love Island.
Oh, for God's sake.
He was a love rat on Love Island. Oh. So he's in the jungle. So,
I'd be trying to pants everybody. He's just got him because he's obviously got abs and shit. So, this guy will look good with his shirt off.
Yep. Sky Wheatley's in there.
Who the hell is Sky Wheatley? It sounds like a magazine.
She's an influencer.
Oh, piss off. Really? She's gonna have those eyelashes which people call cum catchers that are about an inch long. She's gonna have lips like a freaking suction cap and a boob job from hell.
They all look the same, don't they?
Oh, and the thing is, you got the young girl, like if you're 40 or something, okay, you know, you do all the tricks so you can to keep yourself looking young. But the chicks that are 20 are using the same tricks, and I can't tell whether the chick's 22 or 42. I've got no idea.
Poor Brian. Just,
there's too much grooming. Just they're over-groomed. Just a little bit more natural, girls.
Maybe it's a OH&S thing.
How's that work?
Well, it's not a bad idea to have inbuilt airbags.
Occupational hairspray and suction or something. I'm not quite sure.
You got a hairspray helmet and you've even got airbags on your face so your nose doesn't hit the ground.
Yeah, correct. It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, so there you go. They're all dynamically been fitted out for the new series of – and they've got – how about this? They've got 11 in there, so the 12th one's going to come in and they've said that the 12th person to go in is a female and it's a Gold Logie winner. So I was reading an article today where by process of elimination, they've got it down to six. There's six potential Gold Logie female winners that might be the one that goes into the jungle.
Lisa Kloon?
No, because she's doing Dancing with the Stars, Lisa McKeon.
So Rebecca Gibney?
Well, Rebecca is one of the six that they said.
I'll give Ding you, Dong. Yeah.
Ding Dong is one of the six that they said.
Have they got any old people in there? So she might be a ding-dong.
Yeah. Rowena Wallace is one that they suggested might be available. She's not well enough, I don't think.
No, I don't remember Rowena.
Kate Ritchie is available.
Oh, she was very popular. Yeah, I'd actually put her down as a favourite.
Carrie Bickmore might be available.
Oh, she won't. He won't survive.
I wouldn't have thought she'd go into the jungle. And apparently on this list of six that are available – and not tied up with other networks, so they need to be Channel 10 like Ding Dong and Rebecca Gibney, a Channel 10 talent, I believe. Yana Vent's available. Can you imagine? I reckon I'll have 750 Melbourne Cup winners before I get Yana Vent to go into the jungle.
I think she's got a bit more dignity than that.
I think so. My tip out of those six is it'll be Ding Dong.
They should put Ida Buttrow there. That'll stop everyone screwing around.
Well, she's available now. She's not hooked up with any network now that she's severed her ties with the ABC. She's available.
Yeah. I was surprised actually that Guy Sebastian filled in for Marsh because he's on 9 with The Voice and 7's the Australian Idol.
Well, maybe I read that wrong, but I thought I saw that he did.
No, I don't know.
I might have read that wrong. Wasn't he on Australian Idol at one stage?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Or maybe he just does a contract per year, so he's out of contract until they re-sign him next year so he can do it.
Okay, we got 10 minutes to do the songs, boys. So, well, this chart, Go Set chart from 11th of March 1972. Finey, what'd you think?
brilliant chart, first of all. When you got Black Dog and Imagine, you're running the full gamut of popular, you know, great songs with different styles. But the two songs that caught my mind, I love T-Rex.
Oh, Jeepster.
Yeah.
So do you know what a Jeepster is?
I'm just a Jeepster for your love. No, I don't know what it is.
So it sort of became a word after this song. And the idea is, because he refers to the girl as a Jaguar in it, a Jeepster is a Jeep chasing after a Jaguar. So it's just an average low-income guy reaching for the stars and going for a glamour.
Is a Jaguar older than a Cougar?
No, Jaguar is like a high performance sports car. So it's just your average bloke. He says he's just an average normal guy. No, he wasn't, but you know, just balls out trying to get a hot chick.
Yep. Yep.
So that's a great stuff.
And good song. Good song. Love good T-Rex.
And I go to the top of the pops for my other observation, American Pie.
Yeah.
Which was number one in the UK, number one in America, number one in Australia, number one in New Zealand, number one around Europe. So an enormous song. At the time, it was the longest song, 8 minutes and 42 seconds, to ever get to number one. And it, in fact, remained the longest song until a Taylor Swift song in 2021 that went for 10 minutes.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
That I don't know about. And, of course, The Day That Music Died was a reference to the plane crash with Buddy Holly and Ricky Valens and the Big Bopper.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of other really interesting facts, but we're pressed for time and I could go on as long as the song. But it famously, and I refer back to Kevin here, it was the song that DJs used to play when they needed to go to the toilet.
It oscillated between my top three were American Pie, I Heard It Through the Grapevine by Creedence, and Stairway to Heaven by Led Zeppelin were my three toilet songs.
Yeah, there you go.
Should I needed to go. Because it didn't matter actually whether you needed to go long or short, if you know what I mean, because toilets in radio stations were never put close to the studios. They were always at the other end of the building. So even if you wanted to have a quick tinkle, you had to bloody put a 7-minute song on to be able to get there and back in time.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the bucket.
And you knew if somebody played back to back American Pie and Stairway to Heaven, you knew that they had constipation.
Yeah. And that would have been a good trick because you had to you didn't have what they have now where it just plays off a computer screen. Back in the 70s. In 1972, you had turntables, and you had to play them off turntables. You actually had to physically be in there. So
that would you played the actual record?
Yeah.
Oh, that would have been cool.
Oh no, that was part of what bores me shitless doing music shifts now is the tactile bit of it is gone. There's no, you got nothing to touch. It used to be great because you'd be flicking through, you'd find the record, you put the record on, you'd cue the record up, you'd be sitting there holding it. Well, the other one finished, as it finished, you'd let that one go and then you'd take the other one off, move the needle, put it on, cue the next one up. Well, 2 minutes later, when that one finished, bang.
That's real DJing, disc jockeying.
Well, it's exactly what they do in clubs. You were doing it in a studio. You played the only song that we kind of played off in the early 70s, the only song we played off cartridge was Evie, because they actually had to build a cartridge to be able to play all 13 to 12 or 30 minutes of whatever it was. You actually physically had to do everything. Brian, what caught your eye on this chart?
Well, lots caught my eye on this chart, Kev. You know, like Theme from Shaft. It's sort of
Isaac Hayes.
You can hit the sheets or hit the streets, ain't no never mind to me, jolly girl. But, no, I'm actually going to pick Imagine because I love Imagine, but, you know, it's a pretty simple song, but it's a huge, huge hit and it's still really relevant today. But if people actually bother to listen to the lyrics and that, it's almost a manifesto for socialism, you know. It's certainly, I'm surprised in that, you know, I suppose Lou Reed was singing Giving Head and nobody knew what head was around the same time, but it's, you know, because we're very Christian you know, religious at this time. And imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. There's no hell below us. There's only above us only sky. Imagine there's no countries. So he's pinpointed everything that he thinks is causing war. But, geez, there's a lot of the ideas, which I'm quite open to, but I'm surprised that people didn't get outraged about some of the lines in the verses of this song, because it's anti-religious, it's anti-borders. Anyway, it's a fantastic song, and I've ripped it off a few times. So there you go.
It is a classic song.
And look, I'm not really the biggest Led Zeppelin fan, but Black Dog, wow. Because I reckon in 1972 I was down at Windine Caravan Park in Ocean Grove, and going to the pool room. And there's big, you know, guys and hipsters wearing Amco jeans with a tattoo mum on their arm going, playing pool. And then this song just got thrashed on the jukebox. And it's such a great guitar riff. And, yeah, I think it's possibly my favourite Led Zeppelin song. And, you know, it just brings back a lot of fond memories for me. And I absolutely love it's a great riff.
And a great album. What a freaking great album that was. I remember being, it was a year before I got into radio and still hanging out with my mates. We used to go into my mate's shed and turn this album on, and it was Black Dog, Rock and Roll, Stairway to Heaven, Misty Mountain Hop, Going to California, When the Levee Breaks. It just was such a good album. We just sat there and cranked the shit out of it, and a really, really great album. I'm like you. I'm not the biggest Led Zeppelin fan in the world, but that song, Jesus, that's a good song. But I'm going to pick Harry Nilsson, because Harry Nilsson, every time I see Harry Nilsson on a chart, I think of when he came out here in the mid-'80s and we got him into 3XY, and I spent the most enjoyable drunken afternoon with that man. He was so funny, so entertaining, had so many great stories. He talked about Lennon. He talked about Yoko and about the fact that he said she had the best legs of anyone he'd ever seen. He talked about, you know, the drinking days with all that, the whole Hollywood Vampires crew that he was in. And he was just, he was out of control. We literally drank the 3XY boardroom liquor cabinet dry. He loved brandy. And had a fondness for Hennessy brandy. So I think the two bottles of that might have got drained, and there were other things going on that probably shouldn't have been going on inside the radio station that we were helping him procure at the time. But he was just such a bloody great storyteller and such a lovely fella. They had other things lined up, but by the time he'd sort of got through the first bottle of Hennessy brandy, they decided better of taking him anywhere else. So we just sat in the boardroom and drank. And he was absolutely fantastic. And the song at the time that he was, you know, in this chart in 1972 was not a song he wrote. He was well known as a songwriter, but the song that is the big hit here that Mariah Carey murdered later, Without You, was actually written by the two blokes in Bad Finger, who also have a song in this chart. So
the two Ronnies?
No, sorry, Peter Ham and Tony Evans. Wrote this Without You. Great. I mean, beautiful, beautiful song. And Harry Nilsson sings it beautifully, but it wasn't one of his songs, which, given his reputation as a songwriter, was quite strange. But, yeah, so that's my highlight there. And Graham Nash is in there, which I love. And Slade, 'Cause I Love You, great song. 6 months later, I was watching him at Lang Park in Brisbane, at my very first big concert I'd ever went to. Great chart. I'll whack it up on the social media so you can have a look at, you know, shares in there. And must be one of the worst songs ever.
I liked Gypsy's Tramps and
me
Thieves.
Too. Yeah, me too. I don't like that middle of the road thing, Sole Sole. That was an awful song. But, you know, Old Fashioned Love, a song by Three Dog Night's in there. Some good Aussie stuff in there as well. Sherbet, Farnham, all in there. It's all good. Hey, boys.
Well,
that's it. Viney's got to go fishing. He's on his way to the Northern Territory.
I've got to get out of the bar. I'm telling you, I look like a pensioner's nutsack. I'm all wrinkled.
We'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Happy fishing, customers. Get a barramundi and a marlin for us. Happy gigging, happy Easter, and we'll see you next time on Rock and Roll. See you, boys. Here's the news.
And check out our Facebook page to see if prevention is knackers.
You've just experienced Rock and Roll. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Facebook.